nada de verdad.
You've joined our show, Crystal the Rock, this evening. Be sure to stay tuned until 1 a.m. We're here in the studio. We have Pastor Jerry Hobbs that we've just had a little bit of sharing with, and now we'd like to have Pastor Gary Schaefer share a little bit about himself with our listeners. Pastor Gary?
I thank you. Tina, I appreciate your spirit. I don't know if anyone knows. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but we welcome you to Texas. I know you've been here, a couple of years?
Actually, on Thursday, it'll be 2 years.
Two years.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And I'm
but
not
it
sure.
Feels like
you
six
have a pair
months.
Of boots yet?
I had them before I came, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. Did you really? Well, yes. That qualifies.
That's tremendous. I like to meet people that you don't have to look at them and say, well, I think they're called. I hope they're called. Mm-hmm. When you see Tina, you just know that you know that she has a calling on her life. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that she has pursued a program like this and all that she's doing. God's using her to fly under the radar sometimes to get people into the kingdom. I'm also honored to sit with Pastor Jerry Hobbs. I have known him my whole life. He told someone the other day that he knew me when I was still wearing short pants. And so, that's about true. But I'm catching him in age real quickly. I'm gaining on him really strong. You know, as we were driving over here today and this afternoon, I began to think, you know what, God, because of some situations in my life and some things that have just recently transpired with family and other things, I thought, you know, really and truly, God, I'm just not in the mood, really, to go to church tomorrow night on Wednesday night. I'm not really in the mood. I'm just being level with you. I'm being straight up with folks right now. You know, and it was the enemy that tries to suppress our joy. Mm-hmm. If the enemy can take our joy, then he can take our peace. If he can take our peace, then he can take our salvation. Yeah. And we just have to constantly run to him. And it's not that I didn't want to be around Pastor Hobbs or be around Tina. It wasn't that at all, but I just kind of felt empty. But, you know, there's this fresh infusion into me because I know what God has done. Sometimes we just have to... A well-known minister who happens to be a relative of mine said to me one time, he said, Gary, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. Mm. And some people just struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And part of it is just find a good home church, plug in, lock in, and dress thyself and show up.
Amen. Yeah.
I tell people all the time, that's half the battle. Amen. Just dress thyself
just
and show
get
up.
There.
I know some pastors that spend a lot of time counseling. And I want to tell some, I don't know why I got off on the subject, but I want to tell people sometimes, I would like to tell them, if you would just show up on a Sunday morning and listen to what your minister and what your pastor says, you could cut out all of this counseling.
Absolutely.
You're like double dipping. You know, you're spending too much of his time or the staff's time or whatever. Not that people are not compassionate, not that they do not want to counsel with you, and sometimes that's necessary. But... I want to share. How long do we have? 3 days to minister here?
That'd be just great.
That's fine.
3 days. I want to share a little story that happened to me and jump in here anytime, Pastor Hobbs. I do appreciate you. I'm going to jump back to talk about him just a moment. Many people do not know the great things that he has done. He has enhanced literally hundreds of ministries. And I'm just going to, he may swap my hand on the way home because he rode in my automobile. He may scold me for doing this, but he, at one time, just people such as James Robinson, he and his wife worked with him after he resigned his last church and decided not to pastor anymore. He did missions evangelism and was successful with that. And then with James Robinson's ministry, greatly strengthened that ministry.
Mm.
And with all of the due respect to John Hagee, pastor, wonderful pastor in San Antonio, nobody hardly knew who he was, maybe around San Antonio and a few friends around, but Pastor Hobbs and his wife for 5.5 years established their entire television ministry.
Mm. Wow.
And helped good them. Lord. People would not be blessed with the ministry of John Hagee without this man I'm sitting beside today. And other churches have brought him in and paid him handsome fees to fly in once a month and to be a consultant to their churches so they could better present the gospel.
Mm, what a blessing.
So, I'm humbled to sit by a man that does not cry out for glory to himself. I've heard it said that it would be amazing what we can do for the kingdom of God if nobody cared who got the credit.
Oh, amen.
Right. So he's not trying to just, say, look at me, what I've done. And he's truly called. I don't know one minister that held up his hand, male or female. I don't know one minister I've ever met that held up their hand and said, you know what, God, you'd get a good deal if you called me to the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us came kicking and screaming and saying, not worthy, not worthy. I've tried to jump the fence many times. God's pulled me through the knothole upside down and backwards and said, I'm not through with you. And I'm going, wow, God, if I'm the biggest stick you can find, you have a problem. If I'm the best you can find. And so we just keep marching on. But I was thinking a few days ago, when I was about, when we get old, our ties get shorter and our pants get higher, and we start telling a lot of stories. You know, we
turn
on
familiar.
Love your stories, Pastor Gary. I love your stories.
Well, I'm so, up to here now.
Our pants get higher. And watch out, your tie will get shorter, too. I told the folks right before this program, I said, hey, I'm not as old as Methuselah, but he was a very good friend of mine. When I was about 14 years old, I had an uncle that two uncles that I admired, my mom's two brothers, her younger brothers. And those men would bring me in the summertime to their homes, and I would run the streets with my cousins and we'd drink Coca-Colas. I'm ashamed to tell you that they were only a nickel apiece back then.
Wow.
I remember the first time in going to Albuquerque that I pulled over to a gas station with a friend, and the man tried to charge me 25 cents for a soft drink. And I looked at him and I said, sir, I would crawl on my hands and knees across the desert, half thirst to death, before I would pay 25 cents for your Coca-Cola. But times change, don't they?
Times do change.
And so, anyway, I had this uncle. He was only about 5 years older than me, and for a sideline job, during Christmas time and around the 4th of July, he had two firecracker stands. And so he would invite me out to help sell those firecrackers. And I can stay with me here, don't go to sleep, and I'll run through this quickly. And so this uncle, help me along, Pastor. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen. One day he went to the bank and left me sitting on the back of this open back doors opened up on this trailer, and it was like a little showroom for fireworks. And so I watched him drive off into town, and now I'm sitting out on the edge of town on a bypass with very little traffic. And I'm sitting inside the trailer, just sitting on the tail of the trailer by myself on a hot, sultry West Texas summer day. And in a few minutes, I looked to my left and I heard a V8 engine. At 14, I was well acquainted with what a V8 engine sounded like. And I looked and there was a beautiful powder blue Corvette Stingray. Those were new. Be still my heart. I looked a little closer, and this man had one of the most beautiful boats I've ever seen pulling behind that trailer, custom painted to match the powder blue Corvette Stingray convertible roadster. Along with it, he had a beautiful young lady sitting beside him. And as that scene got closer, I thought to myself, at 14 years old and no driver's license and no car to drive, I thought,
and no girlfriend.
And no girlfriend. And no hope.
No hope.
Yes. And so I saw that coming, and that picture is still vivid in my mind. And as it was getting real close, everything was closer, and I could understand and see what it was. And I thought, you know, if I was that man, my troubles would be over. I mean, they would absolutely be vanished. So the car came right in front of me, and there was a railroad track next to the little place they'd parked the small trailer. And when he hit that railroad track, the rope broke on that boat, and it began to catch air. And very gently, pretty quickly, it caught air and began to leave and start to fly like a small Cessna airplane.
Finally, the boat, right?
The boat. And it was flying. And it just started getting higher and higher and higher, and I, it was like in slow motion. And I looked, and finally the boat was as high as the top of the telephone poles.
Wow.
And then it moved over into the oncoming traffic. By then, there were three cars coming to meet the boat, and it ran all three of them in the ditch. And when that boat hit the pavement, fiberglass boat, it splintered and splattered into thousands of pieces.
There goes the dream.
There goes the dream. There goes the dream.
Absolutely.
And I am watching that. What does that mean? It's just a story. It's just a story. Except that left a footprint in my mind. It left a memory in my mind that the day I check out and go to glory, I will never forget what happened on that day, because it was such a clear picture and such an unusual thing. I may be the only person in the world that ever saw something happen just exactly like that. But as I've thought about that through the years, and finally as I moved into adulthood, I may go 3 or 5 years and not even think about it. But from time to time, it clicks up again. The fact is, there are people who attend church. Many of them are informed, but never changed. I'll say that again. We have churches that will allow you sometimes to be informed, but never really a heart change. And I have really come to know the fact that going to church doesn't really work unless you have an encounter with Jesus. That is the important thing. But I'm concerned about some people, lovingly concerned, that they have never had an encounter with God that is strong enough and that is vivid enough and deep enough and real enough. There is no footprint in their mind with their walk with God. I don't really know how to kind of verbally shake people into a position to where they can get hungry for God. But folks, if you're listening today, I don't mean to sound just frightened with what I'm talking about, but I encourage you. How long can you go without enough peace?
Yes.
How long can you go without enough contentment in your life? I enjoy things. I wish I had a new automobile right now. I wish I could afford a new house for my wife. She deserves it. But we're thankful for what we have. Yes. But actually, you know, you can buy a new automobile, and in 4 months, the new smell starts to wear off.
Absolutely.
And the payment book's still staring you in the face.
There you go.
Yes.
You know, and you can get new things. I found out that we need to enjoy the small things in life, because very few large things come our way. You might take your wife and have a cruise to Alaska. You might buy a few new houses, might buy a few new automobiles. You might go to Disney World. But really, life is made up of the small things. And if you can't learn to be happy with the small things, if you can't walk out of your front door every morning and say, God, I'm just glad to be breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad to be breathing. I'm thankful that I had a bowl of oatmeal this morning. I'm thankful that I can breathe in and out and I'm still alive. So my prayer for people is that they would have such an encounter with God, such an encounter, that it leaves a footprint in their spirit and in their minds, that they can look back to a time and they say, this happened and it was God. Then later, this happened and it was God. Those memories should be like bookprints in our life, our bookmarkers. It should be like bookmarkers of our life.
You we need to journal them,
turn
so
back.
We can look back.
That's right. That is right. That's right.
But you know, Gary, we've talked about this. If you've not had a walk with God, I'm not sure you'll understand this. But I think if you've had a relationship with the Lord, you'll understand where we're coming from here. Whenever it seems like you don't have enough things that you really should praise the Lord for, you know, praise is not conditioned on what you have or don't have, or what you want or don't want. I think our relationship with God is never really what it can be until we learn to live a life of just praise unto God, not conditioned on what we have that's new or change or, you know, or whatever. Because, I mean, if that's your happiness, that's just all external. And your walk with God is what gives you the joy, which is internal.
And a lot of people, they really kind of get it twisted, Pastor. And some people will say, well, I'm not, you know, holy enough to go to church, and I don't feel, you know, good, and I haven't lived, you know, the way I want to live today or this week, and, you know, why? I tell them, you know what? And this is my belief. I praise the Lord, not because of who I am, but because of who He is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I could have been through the most terrible of situations and maybe not do things the right way, but I'm going to say, Lord, You are good, mm-hmm. not because of me, but because of You. Lord, mm-hmm. You deserve the praise, not because of what I've done, but because of what You've done, mm-hmm. what You're doing and what You are going to do. Mm-hmm. And I may be in a messed up situation. I may not know what to do half of the times, but I thank You because You come out and meet me.
Mm-hmm.
I thank You because You're always there. I thank You because You're consistent. I thank You because You remain the same. You are unchanging, and You just get better and better and better and better.
Yes.
And Richard, you don't have to be religious to do that.
No, absolutely not. This is not about religiosity.
No,
this is about relationship.
Not. You don't want to be religious.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. But
absolutely not.
This is relationship.
This is relationship. That's why I tell people, this is not
That's
about
why
religion.
It's so real.
We're not preaching religion here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think religion is a way that man made to reach God, and I believe that salvation is a way that God made to reach man. I mean, this is completely another level of thinking. This is thinking outside the box. This has nothing to do with four walls of a church. I mean, a Presbyterian or Catholic or this or that. We're talking about God and man, a walk with him with us, you know, mm-hmm. elevating our minds to that next level. That's what we're talking about. And I imagine that as pastors, the more you walk with God, the more you understand that God cannot even be imagined, nor mm-hmm. His power fathomed, nor can He be conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
Because He works the way He wants to, with whom mm-hmm. He wants to.
That's it.
And with the people we least expect, He chooses, because the glorious who is His, mm-hmm. not ours.
Right.
So it's about relationship. That's why I tell people, I don't care where you're coming out from. I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care if you partied all night. You know what? Go from there to the church.
Mm-hmm. Forget what you got on.
Forget what you got on, Susie.
Exactly. And a lot of people think that, I've heard comments, well, I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. Why? You're not going to have a sign on your forehead that says visitor.
I mean, absolutely.
Go to a big church then. You'll blend in. Go to some of these 10,000 member churches.
Yeah, you know what, Tina? I think we've seen a turnaround in many of our churches where they're not all suit and tie and you know, Easter bonnets.
Absolutely not.
They are. We see kids coming in and some cutoffs, and you know, it's not what I would prefer them to wear, but it's hardly none of my business. I mean, I'm at my age, you know, we're schooled in a certain way, but
right.
I am thrilled to see people come in. I don't care if they have to take a drag off a cigarette before they come in.
Absolutely.
I mean, I wish for their health's sake they didn't smoke.
Right.
Like my own child, you know, but, you know, God is not really concerned about that. He's concerned about the heart issue.
Absolutely. Yes. And these things are just symptoms of the sickness.
Yes.
Your external condition is just symptoms of what the real situation is, which is what? Internal. It's salvation. It is a relationship. And the closer you get to God, the more perfect you see Him, the more imperfect you see yourself, and the more you want to be like Him.
But you know what, Richard? Here's the thing. The world has caught on to the concept because, and it's the church's fault, because the church for years only wanted to catch fish that were already cleaned.
Oh.
and you know, and that's not the way it is. You know, I tell you what, I was pastoring in Boulder, Colorado, a campus church at the University of Colorado, and you talk about hippies. We had the real thing then, back in the 70s. I had this evangelist, and he's decided to preach on a Friday night on sound, sex, and psychedelicism.
Oh, geez.
We packed that auditorium out. And let me tell you, we had big bruisers coming in, bikers, and they had on no shirt, just a leather vest.
Mm-hmm.
Girls with very skimpy halter tops and shorts. One guy came in there holding a bottle of Jack Daniels, big old bottle. So a deacon came up to me in ashen color, stammering, and said, "We got to do something about this." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, they got that bottle of hooch over there. Look how they're dressed." I said, "Well, I'll go take care of the Jack Daniels, but I don't care how they're dressed." I said, "Because they have more of a right to be into this church tonight mm-hmm. than you do."
Mm-hmm.
He came to save and to seek and to save them that were lost. And those that are sick have not need those that are well have not need of a physician.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That I mean, and that is the truth. And sometimes people just want to structure things, but I believe that when the Holy Ghost is involved and the power mm-hmm. of God is involved, not mm-hmm. a psychology of alternate things going on, just the power of God, His Holy Spirit, that will take a man's consciousness and will shake it in such a way, Pastor.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That you will not need to talk too much because he knows that God is upon him. He knows that God is
He already there. Knows what his need is.
He already knows what his need
when
is.
When he came in there, he knew.
Right. The thing that sometimes we replace the Holy Spirit with rules and regulations, and we don't let God do what he needs to do. Any pimped out, messed up, crazy. I mean, the crazier the better. The more messed up, the better, because the glory will be bigger for who?
Exactly.
For the Lord.
Yeah. Go down to the Long Branch and the Crystal Pistol, pull them out and take them to church.
Amen. Mm.
Yes.
You know what? I'm sorry, Richard. I cut in without a turn signal. I want you to know something. I don't, if I'm correct, the word religion is not even in the Bible.
No,
it's not. I don't think it is either.
And it's much easier to be religious than it is to be related. It's about being related to God. I found out that God shops in the bargain basement of life to get those that he loves and those that he needs.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't mind telling you, I have some family members that have really gone through some struggles. I will not go into details, but they've gone through struggles. But God's faithful.
Mm. And Gary, you know, God is doing great things.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Don't go away, guys. I mean, it just gets better and better. This is Cristo the Rock. Esto es Mensaje con Sentido, Mensaje con Sabor. Stay with us because God wants to continue to do great things in your life.
Te alabo.